Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. It's the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Ilya Meritz, in for Brian Lehrer. I'm a reporter in the WNYC newsroom and a co-host of our podcast, Trump Inc., produced with ProPublica. Today on the show, New York and New Jersey are both moving towards some form of legalized marijuana, which means inviting in the nascent legal pot industry with all of the complications that includes. We'll look at what we can learn from other states that have already gone down that road, Vermont and Massachusetts in particular. Also, New York City museums are not cheap. $25 at MoMA or the Guggenheim or the Met if you don't have the right ID. Yikes. We have a hack to help you get in for free. Yes, free. But first, this was the week that the mystery of Donald Trump's relationship with Russia became impossible to ignore. On Monday, the American president stood at a lectern in Helsinki and did what no president before him has ever done. He heaped praise on Vladimir Putin and cast doubt on the work of our nation's intelligence agencies.
I have great confidence in my intelligence people, but I will tell you that President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today. And what he did is an incredible offer. He offered to have the people working on the case come and work with their investigators with respect to the 12 people. I think that's an incredible offer. Okay, thank you.
On Tuesday, Trump half-heartedly walked back one of his comments, It was all a misunderstanding. And if that was supposed to contain the blowback that was already erupting, then came this, an offer by the White House to invite Vladimir Putin to Washington this fall. The headline in today's New York Daily News this morning, "Who's your Vladdy?" It includes a bizarre photo collage of Trump and Putin riding a horse together on the White House lawn. Putin is shirtless. A little later this hour, we're going to talk about Maria Butina, the hacking of the 2016 election, and maybe a little Paul Manafort thrown in with two journalists who are covering that closely. But first up, a very high-level diplomat. We have about 15 minutes with a man who has met Vladimir Putin a half dozen times in his role as U.S. ambassador to Russia from 2012 to 2014. Michael McFaul is a professor now at Stanford. He's also the author of the book From Cold War to Hot Peace out this year. Welcome back to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Thanks for having me.
First, Ambassador McFaul, your reaction to the announcement by the White House that it is pursuing an invite to Vladimir Putin to Washington this fall.
Why? The last summit with Vladimir Putin was a complete disaster, as far as I'm concerned, regarding American foreign policy interests. I think we went several steps backwards. And so why do a rerun of that? That seems like it is not in America's national interest to do right now.
Right. And maybe I should add that Dan Coats, the director of national intelligence, I guess shared your reaction. He was at the Aspen Ideas Festival yesterday. And when Andrea Mitchell shared that news with him, he said, "Say that again." And then added later, "That's going to be special." Interesting subtext to all of this, I think, though, is we still don't really know what the two men discussed the first time they met in Helsinki, right?
Well, that's right. They spent about 2 hours together with only translators in the room, and that's highly unusual. I attended about a half a dozen summits with Putin, and we always had somebody there, at least a note taker, and it was often me, by the way, when I worked at the White House. We do know some facts, though, about that meeting. And the one is that the one you mentioned, this idea of swapping for interrogation purposes 12 Russian intelligence officials, and in return that the Russian government would get to interrogate people that they think are criminal from the Russian government. And
including
one of those
you.
People was me. It was me. And I just want people to understand just how crazy an idea this was. The idea that President Trump to the world from Helsinki, I was in Helsinki watching it in real time, by the way, he said this is an incredible offer. Let's just understand why it was an incredibly stupid offer, and it took him 4 days to figure out and hasn't quite figured out. Number one, those intelligence officers would never say anything to our investigators, right? If Putin would stand there and lie to Trump, as he did, about not intervening in our elections, what do you think trained intelligence officers are going to do? Number two, though, and this is really, I think, the part that is just so disturbing to me and sad, the president stood there and accepted false equivalency, moral equivalency, between a legitimate indictment from Mr. Mueller of Russian intelligence officers who violated American sovereignty in 2016 to influence the outcome of our election, and some crazy cockamamie spun up thing that Putin must have floated to him that meeting, suggesting that several of us conspired with Bill Browder, a UK businessman, to launder money out of Russia to help the Clinton campaign. That's what he said. And that our president couldn't just bat that away as complete nonsense and instead praised it. That was number two. And then when they got home, they kept saying, well, we're going to entertain the idea.
Right.
Sarah
Sanders was asked about it, and her first response was, and I'm reading from a transcript here, there was some conversation about it, but there wasn't a commitment made on behalf of the United States. Later on Thursday, she said in a statement, it's a proposal that was made in sincerity by President Putin, but President Trump disagrees with it.
But notice that word sincerity. Was made in sincerity, still giving some kind of legitimacy to something where basically they're offering up for arrest U.S. government officials. So that's the one fact we know about all that meeting. So
right.
Think about all the other crazy things that Putin probably floated that we still don't know.
Well,
including, you know, the press has said that there were several agreements. And in Russia, the Ministry of Defense and other parts of the government said, we stand ready to implement the agreements. On our side, we still don't know what those agreements were.
Well, that's what I find so interesting here, because we don't know from the U.S. side. The State Department never produced minutes or any kind of memo afterwards to let the American people know what was discussed. But Russia is kind of leaky right now, and we're hearing about agreements that happened. Bloomberg News is reporting that Vladimir Putin told some of his top diplomats that he had discussed with Trump the idea of a referendum in eastern Ukraine, this area that's under the control of sort of Russian-aligned militias, a referendum, I guess, about their future, what country they might want to belong to, and that Putin apparently told his diplomats that he would agree to stay quiet about it while Trump considered the proposal. Is that like an epic troll by Putin on his part, that he actually kind of wants the world to know what they discussed? He just doesn't want to be like open about it?
Well, again, like the story of swapping American officials to be interrogated, if there's any hint of truth to this crazy idea, and our president just didn't reject it categorically, it's another sign of how dangerous it is to have those two gentlemen in the room. Because eastern Ukraine, the Donbass as it's called, is being supported by separatists from Russia, oftentimes with Russian military personnel helping them. Over 10,000 people have been killed. And we're talking about a European country. I think people forget about this. And who has assigned to Putin and Trump the right to tell Ukrainians what to do with the sovereignty of their own country? So it's ludicrous that they would discuss it. And I hope somehow the president said that is a really bad idea, but like the first idea we were talking about, we know that he did not do that.
And we are able to take your calls. So if you have a call for Ambassador Michael McFaul, a question you want to ask him, please give us a ring. The number is 212-433-WNYC. It's 212-433-9692. And let's go to a call right now. Let's talk to Boris in Flatbush.
Hi, how are you, Ilya? How are you, Ambassador McFaul? A big fan of both of your work. I just had a kind of an open-ended question, and that is, with the funneling of, you know, at least $30 million to the Trump campaign through the NRA and whatever it costs to set up and run the troll farm in St. Petersburg, would it be fair to say that Russia was the biggest campaign contributor to the Trump campaign?
You're not an FEC commissioner, Ambassador McFaul. I don't know about that. But to Boris's point, a pretty interesting picture is emerging of an influence campaign. What do you make of it?
Yeah, so I can't speak to what the numbers are compared to others. But Boris raises, I think, another very important point about yet another set of data points that we have been uncovering recently about a very conscious effort by the Russian government to influence the 2016 presidential campaign. And it's been on multiple fronts, right? So the most prominent one we know about is that they stole these emails and then they published them in a way to help Trump and hurt Clinton. They also use their media platforms, including social media platforms, often disguised, by the way, to look like Americans to try to influence our elections. And now we're learning increasingly about, you know, funds that may have been provided in a way to help Trump. And just don't Americans care about this? I mean, sometimes we talk about this a little with not enough passion. I think it's a good idea that we should get to choose our leaders without anybody telling us what to do or putting their thumbs on the scale, let alone Vladimir Putin. And so I hope maybe with these recent revelations, you know, we'll finally get serious about trying to defend our democracy against foreign powers like Russia.
We've really never been, I mean, there's no analog for this situation where the elected leader of the country diverges so dramatically from the opinion of top law enforcement officials. So I feel like experience is no guide, and yet it's the only place we can look. Where do you look to try to understand what's happening? And doesn't it seem dangerous to you that, again, the elected leader, I mean, this is the person who is chosen by the American people, in many ways has more legitimacy than any other part of the national security apparatus. He just happens to disagree with all of it.
Well, it is unprecedented. There is not a historic analogy. And every senior official I know in the Trump administration supports one more confrontational pushback policy towards Putin, but the President of the United States disagrees with his own government. And the question is why? I mean, what is going on? Is this incompetence and just kind of admiration of Putin? Or is there a more sinister motive going on here? And that's why we need Mr. Mueller to finish his investigation and to uncover all the ties between the Trump campaign, the president, Trump himself, and Russia.
You're one of the few Americans who has met Vladimir Putin on more than one occasion. Was it ever one-on-one? Was it always group settings?
Sometimes it was one plus one. So two, Putin and one person, and then one of our senior government officials and myself. But yeah, I've met him. I mean, I've met him in the spring of 1991. I've known him for a long time.
No kidding.
But in the government, yeah, I've known him for a long time. I've written about him for decades. He doesn't like what I've written about him. I'm a critic of Putin as a authoritarian leader who undermined Russian democracy. And I've spoken out since leaving the government about the belligerent activity that he's done, whether it be at annexation of Crimea, supporting the most horrible dictator in the world, Mr. Assad in Syria, or violating our elections. So that's why I was on that list. So people understand, it wasn't just some random thing. He is out to get me. He's out to intimidate me. I wrote a whole book about it, by the way, to help it explain to the American people just how sinister some of their policies are. And when he threw my name into that list, that was yet another way to try to silence me and intimidate me.
I know we only have a couple minutes left with you, so I really want to leave on this point. You have this unique experience. You know that man. It looks like this summit, there's a good chance that it will happen this fall between President Trump and Vladimir Putin in Washington. What can you tell us about how Putin thinks, how he operates? Are there any misconceptions out there among Americans that you want to clear up? What should we know about Putin the man?
Well, the most important thing to understand about Putin right now is he feels that he is winning. He was very, you know, he was not in that place 4 years ago. After he annexed Crimea and started this war in eastern Ukraine, he was isolated by the entire international community. Sanctions were put on people close to him. NATO was strengthened, and he was in a corner. In fact, there's this famous photo of him. I think it was a G20 summit in Australia where all the leaders of the world are having lunch, and they're all at one table, and he's sitting by himself. Well, today, he feels exactly the opposite. He feels like President Trump, because he's just so anxious to have a personal relationship with Putin, has set aside all of our policy differences. So Trump never brought up annexation. He never brought up Syria. He never pushed back, as the whole world witnessed in Helsinki, on their interference in our elections. And so he feels like there's a lot of momentum on his side with respect to President Trump. And that is dangerous for American national interests. That's the thing I think one needs to understand. President Trump personalizes foreign policy, and he thinks it's all about his chemistry with various leaders around the world. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. President. You were hired to defend America and push for our interests. And so I hope when they get a replay in the fall, if Putin comes, that President Trump will understand why appeasement is not a strategy that makes America better off. And it's time that he changes the way that he deals with Putin. And I want to be clear, I am not against meeting with Putin. During the Cold War, we met with Soviet leaders all the time, but never during the Cold War did our presidents lavish praise on some Soviet leader, and never during the Cold War did a president put personal interests over national interests.
Michael McFaul, former ambassador to Russia in the Obama administration, a professor of political science at Stanford. His book out this year is From Cold War to Hot Peace, An American Ambassador in Putin's Russia, from Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Thank you so much for joining us, Ambassador.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.